This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. You know, Sandy knocked it out of the park yesterday, but it's good to have you back.
So what was the name of that movie where they clicked the heels three times and said there's no place like home?
The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. So before I get into my guests, yesterday I was, I was at not rehearsal, but recording, shooting for the movie that I'm given a part of and in anyway. And so I was so excited. I said, look, move over, Denzel. I'm coming. But after 11 hours, of just, you know, over and over, I don't want to be in the movies. I found that out. My place is on the airways, and I'm happy to be here. And I want to welcome back Mr. Paul Swartz with the National Campaign of Lead-Free Water and Dr. Yana Lambrinidou. Our good friend Robert Miranda is out today, but thank you, guys. I'm glad politics is over for a while and we can get down to business, serious business. Before we get into all of that, I just wanted to ask you, there's a changing of the guard in this nation. You know, President Biden allocated money to address the lead pipe issue. And we've got a guy now in office who's looking to cut as many programs that he doesn't seem fit. He certainly wants to not address all the different issues that the American people are faced with as far as climate and all those things. Do you see any impact in what it is you guys are fighting right now? Either one of you can respond. Well, Dr. Lambrinidou, what do you think?
Well, I think we, first of all, good morning, and thank you so much for having us again. This is, of course, a transition that has many of us quite anxious. There was the announcement about the new leader of the Environmental Protection Agency. It's an individual who doesn't seem to have a lot of background on environmental issues and public health protection. And certainly when it comes to lead in drinking water, we are really looking at a new regulation that the Biden administration's EPA issued very recently, which has, it's not perfect, but it is much improved from previous regulations for lead in drinking water. And one of the main improvements of the Biden administration's regulation is the mandatory replacement of lead laterals across the country. That's not a cheap project. And the Biden administration has dedicated huge amounts of funds to do the replacements. And still, these funds are not nearly enough to remove these dangerous lead laterals and replace them with safer materials. So the possibility that that funding is might be reduced or cut, of course, is something that is quite alarming because it might result in these replacements either not happening or in residents who have no responsibility for this problem being burdened with extremely high costs and all sorts of other problems. And so we have to have our eyes peeled for this issue.
Well, no, just so people are aware, Donald Trump and, you know, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy talking about cutting regulations. That's one of the main things you talked about the regulations that Joe Biden put in place to address this. Mr. Schwartz, your thoughts?
Well, I think the anti-regulatory regime of the incoming Trump administration is something to be really concerned about. In the announcement of Representative Lee Zeldin from New York being the head of EPA, the last line of a lot of the news reports is that the Trump administration wanted clean air and clean water. I'm not sure what the content of that really is. And I think that we're going to have to look very carefully at whether the Trump administration tries to put an administrative hold on this new regulation for lead in water that Yana was talking about that was just put in place. Also, this Congress is looking at cutting large amounts of money from the federal budget. And of course, budget priorities are say a lot about what the priorities are of an administration and of the American people. And so we're going to have to watch about the budget process, even if the federal government is going to continue to be funded, you know, past the three-month agreement that was made when the shutdown was last talked about. And so those are real concerns. That all being said, right now, a lot of the water utilities in the Milwaukee area and around the country are claiming that a chunk of the lead laterals is some to replace them, that you are going to have to pay for them. And that's a real problem as well. That would have been true whether the Biden administration or the new Harris administration or the Trump administration was in place. And so the direct and indirect costs of getting the lead laterals out could fall heavily on people, rich and poor alike. And in Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, around the nation, I think people are just waking up to the fact that they even have these 100% lead pipes coming into their home. And what's not being said by the water utilities when they're sending out overdue notifications that this is the case is that that's really only part of the story, that lead is in almost every building. And whether or not you have a lead lateral, you're likely to have lead exposure out of the tap. And that's why it's important. And I want this PSA to be out there in front of people on the show each week, that you have to use point of use filters on the counter or mounted on the faucet that have two certifications, the National Sanitation Foundation or NSF 53, and along with a claim of lead reduction, and the NSF standard 42. So you have the tools to protect yourself from lead and water right now.
If you're just joining us, it's Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and that means that Dr. Yama Librinidu and Paul Schwartz, both of the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, are joining us. And you know, you talked about, Mr. Schwartz, you know, these lead pipe removals. And so Dr. Librinidu, people may think that lead pipe from the street that comes up to the house, that's what they're talking about. But you've got to get the lead pipes out of your own house as well. The city is only responsible for from the street to the entrance to your home. I don't know. So we need information.
Yeah. This is such an important issue. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of the letters and information that are going out right now from water utilities to residents are not very clear about all the sources of lead in drinking water. There are the lead laterals that connect the water mains under the street to individual homes. And those tend to be partly a part of the lead laterals, usually from the water main to the property line, belong to the city or the water utility. And the other part from the property line to the home oftentimes belong to homeowners, property owners. And in many jurisdictions, property owners are asked to pay for the removal of that private side. And then there is lead-bearing plumbing inside the vast majority of buildings and homes. And that's in the form of lead fixtures and faucets fixtures and faucets that have lead in them or lead solder. Some buildings can have lead pipes in them as well. That's less frequent. But people who use tap water for drinking and cooking really need to know that these lead laterals, even though they're a very important source of lead in water because they're made of 100% lead, they're not the only source of lead in water. And homes have taps dispensing lead from internal plumbing. Even if people do not have a lead lateral, they really ought to be concerned about lead in drinking water. And that's just a very important message. There is a lead standard right now, a plumbing standard that is a California standard, a Q1, it's called. And that's if anybody who's buying new plumbing should try to make sure that their plumbing meets this California standard, which is the most health protective in terms of lead.
Finish your point.
The vast majority of homes and buildings do not have this Q1 lead standard. They have lead-bearing plumbing inside their buildings, and people really need to be concerned and need to be taking precautions at all times.
You know, all of this stuff is so pervasive. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about all the new development that's going on in our city where they're tearing down old houses. And they're not removing all of those pipes that are there. And they're building homes over those things. We got to take a quick hiatus and we'll come back. I am joined by the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Dr. Leva Needle, and Paul Swartz, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means we're joined by Dr. Leva Needle and Mr. Paul Swartz of the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And so, Paul, you know, constantly information, 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 information. because this battle is really, you know, you guys can't, you can lead the battle, but you can't make it happen alone. Has to be an uprising from the citizenry, and that they get so frustrated finding out that they're being poisoned along with their children and their grandchildren, and then rise up and bring the pressure necessary to change it. You can take it from there, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that's starting to take place because of the federal funds that are flowing and some of the new requirements is that people around the country will start, as Yana Lambrini-Du said, my colleague, starting to get letters about lead services or lead laterals and the need to replace them in their community. CBS 58, local radio, television station in the Milwaukee area, reported yesterday that folks out in West Allis and Wauwatosa and the village of Whitefish Bay, and these are just examples of many other communities in Wisconsin and around the country that will be getting these letters, have these 100% lead pipes that come from the water mains running down the neighborhood streets into their homes and other buildings. And in the reporting done by the local CBS affiliate, they said that people in Whitefish Bay will have to pay up around $8,000 for the so-called private portion that runs from the property line to their homes. And, you know, really, it's important to note that we think this is an artificial distinction between the so-called public side and the so-called private side, and that people shouldn't be burdened with this cost, either directly or indirectly through their water rates, that these are things that have been put in many, many decades ago. Lead service lines were outright banned in 86. The water utilities are late to the game in letting people know that they have these lead pipes. In Milwaukee, like in many big cities, there's huge numbers of those lead pipes. And also that they're only telling part of the story when they're making these announcements. It's good that they've stepped up and that the regulations are requiring them to tell people about this. But we've got a lot more information that we need to put on the doorstep. So when meetings are taking place on December 2nd in the village of Whitefish Bay, public meetings, and people come there, that they're better informed and armed to talk about what are the real issues that they're facing with poisoning at the tap and with these cost burdens that are being imposed on them.
You know, you talked about those particular areas. Those are affluent areas.
Right.
And so when you talk about $8,000, you know, it's still a stretch, but, you know, people in those areas can afford it. People who live in areas like Milwaukee and residents who own homes cannot afford an $8,000, you know, expenditure.
Right.
And the way they've got this situated, I guess, is they can put it on your property taxes, and it can take, you know, I don't know how many years they said to pay it off. But Dr. Lambrinidou, what do you say then to people who don't even understand that part of it, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think that this is a very clear environmental justice issue and a social justice issue in the sense that people are now going to be asked to pay, in some cases, you know, $8,000 or more dollars. Many folks who have absolutely no capacity to come up with those funds, and with very serious public health ramifications if their lead laterals are not replaced. It's important to highlight what you brought up, Earl, before, that the fight now needs to take place at the community level. And my colleague, Paul Schwartz, just really highlighted the same, is that we all need to keep in mind something that our water utilities and our government agencies are not going to tell us. And that is that, first of all, these lead laterals, in many cases, were installed, they were really forced on us through plumbing codes and regulations that required the installation of these lead service lines. And on top of that, for about 40 years now, EPA and the water utility industry, so after the lead ban, after the ban of these lead laterals, have really not been informing people about the very serious health risk that these plumbing materials are posing. And so we're about 40 years into or after the lead ban, and people are now being told finally what the problem is. In the meantime, people have gotten poisoned. They've been exposed to this for so long. And the idea that now it's ordinary people who will have to pay a lot of money to replace these lines raises very serious justice questions.
You know, guys, it is more than frustrating for me. We've got many people who listen to this program on a daily basis. And when we're talking about politics, phone lines stay lit up. But when we're talking about something that's even more important than politics, and all of these people's lives are impacted and affected, you know, I hope we get more people calling. 855-752-4842. We're talking about National Campaign for Lead-Free Water on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Yana Lambrinidou and Paul Swartz of the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And guys, I was saying before the break that this is something, is such an important issue. And I think people are just now starting to, as you guys peel back the onion, even understand that this is an issue. And guys, this is not just an issue in the cities, from what I understand. This is a problem across this entire nation, in private land and people with wells and all of those kind of things. I think people just take for granted that our nation would not allow anything as sacred as the water supply to be contaminated. We are the nation that spends billions of dollars all over the world supposedly to make sure that other nations' water supplies are good. But here in our own backyard, you know, people take their trust the government and, you know, Mr. Swartz, I'm sorry. It's a mistake. You're muted. You're muted. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The point that you're making is so important that people assume that because we're not Mexico or somewhere else that our water coming out of the tap is wholesome. And in fact, there are on this issue of lead, the science really suggests that lead exposure is happening at almost all the taps across the United States. And the problem is that we have a culture at the United States Environmental Protection Agency that when they talk about these issues, don't give people the real information about what's going on at their taps and aren't clear about how people can protect themselves and that we actually have a technology to be able to do that through filters. It is shocking to people, and it's an environmental, a real environmental justice concern that there isn't real health-based and science-based public information that's being put in front of people. And this has been going on for a long time. Where we are right now is trying to figure out how do we protect the next generation.
You know, Dr. Lembernidou, part of this is, again, we talked about it a little bit, I think the last time you guys were on, they say that it's not as big an issue as your scientists are saying, and our government is pushing back against you and saying that's not the science that we have. And so how do you get around that? Because if our government agreed totally with your scientists and your findings, they would be forced into complying with what is right.
Well, one would hope, Earl, that would be the case, that if we that this was a matter of a scientific disagreement, and that if we all reached the point of agreement, then our government would address this issue properly. And unfortunately, that is not what we have seen on the ground, and certainly with how our government has addressed this issue over the last several decades. The issue is not so much that there is a disagreement about the science. Is the science of lead in drinking water is quite solid, and there isn't a whole lot of disagreement around that. In fact, EPA's new regulation, the lead and copper rule improvements, very much includes and incorporates the science and justifies the regulation on the basis of the science. What we're looking at with local governments and state governments many times is a position of ignoring, overlooking the science of lead in water and repeating and regurgitating an old and scientifically unsubstantiated mantra, if you will, that lead in drinking water is only a minor source of exposure and not something that people should be concerned about so much. So what we're up against is really a culture of resistance to embracing the science of lead in water. And this is where community fighting and community resistance is so important. I think that the work of Robert Miranda and FLAC and GTLO in Milwaukee have been paving the way and have been leading the way in bringing up the science of lead in water and asking local and state officials to come to terms with it or respond to it or certainly take it into account. And that's a big fight in almost all of our communities nationwide.
And Paul, and I guess another part of this would be who's going to pay for it? You know, the government, you know, hemming and hawing, we don't have the money to pay for it.
Yeah, Earl, that's a really important point. The Biden administration, as my colleague Anna Lembernidou said, has committed $15 billion of federal money flowing through the states to communities to deal with this issue. That's an important component of the funding, but it falls far short of the mark of what's needed out in the communities. And so the states have to step up. Local communities have to step up with local tax dollars to put this on the residents, and especially in low income and moderate income residents who don't have the money to pay for this through their water bills, is a harm on top of a harm. People have already been, are being harmed by the lead coming through their taps. And now we're talking about really exorbitant rate increases and direct charges for a partial pipe replacement for the part that's from the private line through to the home. And this is something that people need to rise up against and to demand a different outcome.
Dr. Lambrini, do when you when we hear the government hemming and hawing about the cost right now for them to have to, you know, pony up to get this done, it's kind of short-sighted, because long-term, the medical damage that's being done to children at very young ages who become adults far outstrips the cost if they were to get it taken care of now. On the other end, they're going to be, we're going to be stuck and swamped with trying to make sure hospitals and doctors and pharmaceutical companies all are going to have to deal with the fallout of this long term. Is it safe to say that?
That is exactly right. And in fact, the new regulation that has been put out by the Biden administration has a very long section about the health benefits of controlling lead in drinking water, which of course have been known for decades, but there are new and more robust analyses showing very profound and very extensive gains from addressing this problem at its root and ensuring that developing fetuses and infants and young children, and really the rest of us as well, are protected from a contaminant that is the most well-known environmental neurotoxicant that can result and often results in lifelong harm, including not just individual health harm, but also harm at the community level in terms of violence and crime. And so it is exactly short-sighted for government agencies to say this. And at the end of the day, these decisions are really decisions that reflect community priorities. And so to say that after decades of very clear knowledge and understanding that exposure to lead in drinking water causes horrific health effects, including miscarriages, stillbirths, IQ drops, violence and crime, and we've been sitting on this information for decades, and now to keep complaining that this is too expensive of a remedy seems to be not only short-sighted, and it surely is that, but also profoundly immoral.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning to your guests. Great topic. I'm, you know, Earl, I give you a lot of credit. You're one of the few, I guess, people out there actually talking about this issue on a regular basis. And I listen to a lot of different, you know, talk shows out there. So kudos to you for doing this. I should remind everybody, there's a reason why we removed leaded gasoline. We used to have leaded gasoline for quite a long time. And the science was there that, you know, just like with lead in the water, we had to get rid of leaded gasoline because of the consequences with lead being the gasoline. So we went with unleaded gasoline. I would propose, this is what I would propose. I'm not sure where your guests would stand on this. But a lot of people have switched over to bottled water. However, even bottled water, a good percentage, unfortunately, is tap water. And, you know, there's other consequences with that. So I do think that people, not only is this an important issue with the lead lateral lines, but also, you know, what are you potentially ingesting from bottled water? Because, like I said, there's definitely a lot of tap water in bottled water. And I think one of the ways, if we had to generate a revenue stream, I'm not sure what your guests would think about this, but just like we have an extra tax on gasoline for cleanup of gasoline stations in the past, and we actually can't think of the name of it, but you could potentially do that with maybe with like water bottles, where you just put a 1 penny tax on all water bottles, and that would be used towards helping clean up the current lead lateral situation, which would generate tremendous amount of revenue, and then that would be a huge amount of money that could be sent back to local and states across the country. And, you know, I think that that would be possibly
Hey Dave, thank you very much. It's not a bad idea. Guys, hang on. We'll let you, oh, we say, okay. Paul, you want to respond to that? Paul, you're muted.
We need to look at, as the,
go ahead.
As Art said, all sorts of alternative and innovative funding sources to help pay for this problem. And of course, bottled water is less well regulated than tap water, but lead is not as likely to be in bottled water. That we really think that you can increase the confidence in tap water without having to go to bottled water by using filters.
All right, guys, hang on. Hang on the phone lines. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Give me the night.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guests again are Paul Swartz. He's the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Dr. Yana Lambrandidou as well. Let's go to the phone lines, and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thanks for having your guest on this morning. It's such an important issue, and it's under the radar for many, many, many people. My question is, and it's kind of a rhetorical one, is, you know, really meant more for the audience, and that is, what's the difference between storm and flood and hurricane disaster relief than, you know, lead pipes disaster relief? And my answer to that is, one's visible and one isn't. And if it's invisible, one of these silent killers, like lead is, and by the way, lead paint was also identified as a major, major problem right after lead was identified in gasoline as a major problem. And we pivoted. We responded accordingly. But we have now found ourselves in this huge information void where what people need to know is no longer a top priority. It's business comes first. It's dollars comes first. So this is on wide swath of responsibility here, a lot of people. But the bottom line is, guys, if we don't have a media that tells us what we need to know as a first objective, we're going to be spinning around in circles and chasing decades worth of infrastructure delays that benefit the people forever. We must be better at demanding good information find its way to the public. It shouldn't be a hunt every time.
Hey, Mike,
be difficult.
Well said, as always, sir. Paul, you want to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really a great point to think about natural disasters that we have and to think about these human-made disasters that have been going on in our communities. And I really think that the question of what are our priorities and whether we're really going to be out to protect people's health, that really needs to be addressed in our communities and in our states and at the federal level.
So for the listening audience, we are going to be working on a podcast with Dr. Lambernidou and Paul Swartz and Robert Miranda in the immediate future, and we are going to keep hammering away at this because it is something that it shouldn't be, relegated to, 45 minutes with commercial breaks once a week. It is too important an issue to be, just kind of dismissed. And I'm so happy that Robert Miranda has connected us, because we're gonna put forth an effort, civic media, in this platform, spread across this state and with YouTube and other things across the nation, to try to, educate more than enough and create an army of people who'd be willing to take this on. Karina, you're up next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. So if I live in Glendale and it's a condominium, but it was apartments before, how do I know if my pipes, what giving me a water, actually poisonous?
In either of you can answer that question. She's an apartment dweller, and unless it's a brand new outlet, I guess the only way to protect themselves is to make sure that they have the filter, right?
Yes, that's right. So it's the way we're thinking that is probably the best way to approach this is a precautionary way. It is pretty safe to assume, unless your building was built just, in the last few months, and the plumbing that was used met California plumbing standards, the plumbing standard of Q1, it's safe to assume that there's lead-bearing plumbing materials in your building. And it's also safe to assume that some lead, maybe low, maybe at times very high, does come out of your drinking water taps. So because testing the water is not a reliable way to identify safe from unsafe taps, probably using filters on a routine basis is the best way to ensure that you are protected from exposures.
Hey guys, I want to thank you once again for a fascinating and yet very necessary time that we spend together. And I promise you, we're going to certainly increase our opportunities together to get more information out to as many people as possible. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.